What does Buddhism have to do with snowboarding? I'm DJ Brian, and we'll be back right after the song. Welcome to another episode of K-Pop Connection. It is Friday, February 20th, 2026, and we just heard Turbo with White Love, 스키장에서. Now, who would have thought finding enlightenment was a driving force behind South Korea's back-to-back snowboarding medals at the 2026 Milan Cortina Winter Olympics? Half-pipe gold medalist Choi Ga-on, alpine silver medalist Kim Sang-yoon, and big air bronze medalist Yoo Sung-eun, and of course, Lee Sang-ho, who captured the nation's first Olympic snowboarding medal at the 2018 Pyeongchang Winter Olympics, share a unique connection. All four once competed in the Dalma Open Snow Championship, a long-running snowboarding event organized by the Jongge Order of Korean Buddhism. Now, behind this unlikely intersection of temple life and extreme sport stands a Buddhist monk. His Dharma name is Hosan, and he's an abbot of Bongsan Temple. Now, venerable Hosan's journey into snowboarding began almost by accident. Now, back in 1995, after being invited to pray for safety at a nearby ski resort, he was given a lift pass in return. Now, watching snowboarders carve down the wind-swept slopes, he saw something deeply familiar in their movement. It was freedom. He said, compared to the, rigidness of skiing, snowboarding seemed free, and it was relatable to the Buddhist teaching seeking liberation from the cycle of birth and death. But as he rode alongside the freestyle snowboarders, he also noticed a harsh reality. In Korea at the time, snowboarding was considered fringe. It lacked institutional backing, funding, or media attention. Young athletes had few structured opportunities to train or compete at home. So, what did Ven Hosan do? He decided to hold a competition. We'll have more on that later on Coffee or Tea, but for now, we got music for you guys. Actually, one of my favorite artists of all time in Korea, Seo Taeji와 아이들, Taeji Boys with Freestyle. Hey guys, here's a quick announcement on various ways y'all can tune into our show. We have apps you guys can download for free and listen to us conveniently through the KBS Kong, KBS World Radio, and KBS World Radio On Air apps. If you're listening to us via podcast, which can be found on our website or through any podcast app, don't forget to subscribe and rate us 5 stars so more listeners can join in on the fun. And just keep in mind that all the songs are cut out for copyright reasons on podcasts. Also, remember to subscribe and like our YouTube channel, KBS World English. The channel provides 24-hour streaming of all your favorite KBS World Radio programs like KPC, as well as all the shorts featuring all the behind-the-scenes action going on here. So check it out and be in the know. And meanwhile, for all listeners in Malaysia, you guys can enjoy KBS World Radio programs on Malaysia's Astro Radio. Just make sure to download the SYOK Shock app and find KBS World Radio channel for 24-hour non-stop streaming. And for more information, come visit our website world.kbs.co.kr or our gram at KBS K-pop. While you're there, don't forget to post up your song requests, comments, and your answers to our Y2C question of the week for a chance to win a prize. Now, back to our show. And let's get more music for you guys right now. We got Oban with Flower. Would you like a coffee or tea? That is right. It is time to take a break. And breathe in, breathe out, and sip on that coffee or tea. As Brian Ju gives you information that you probably didn't know, but even if you did, pretend you didn't know because that makes me feel special. So, going back to Venerable Hosan and how Buddhism changed the course of Korea's competitive snowboarding history. Fascinated with the sport and the sense of liberation he felt from sliding down the white slopes, Ven Hosan started learning from enthusiasts who were decades younger than him. He won over weary young friends by treating them to jjajangmyeon, y'all, while wearing his monk's robe. He even went as far to train In Canada, learning about the struggles and the difficulties boarders face. That's when he started seeking ways to support Korean snowboarders. So in 2003, using his own savings and with support from fellow monks, Ven Hosan launched a competition. He named it after Dharma, referring to teachings of the Buddha and the true nature of reality. What started as a modest effort gradually evolved into Korea's largest international snowboard competition. At one point, even offering ranking points towards the FIS World Cup. After Pyeongchang was confirmed as host of the 2018 Winter Olympics, the event's mission expanded further, focusing on nurturing young riders with Olympic potential. Now, more than two decades later, the Dalma Open remains the country's longest-running incubator of snowboarding talent and the unlikely birthplace of the so-called Dharma kids like Olympic medalists Choi Ga-won, Yoo Sung-eun, and Lee Sang-ho. From temple halls to Olympic podiums, it's proof that sometimes the path to gold medals, not just with training, but with belief. Now, with that said, hopefully you guys are motivated. And with the best song for that, it's ITZY with Gold. Lights, camera, action, baby. I see you looking at my PIC. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Lights, Camera, Action. We have Niall Song in the studio to tell us about a K-drama or K-film and her pick of related songs. And we're hoping she's feeling better than she did the past few weeks. Because the past few weeks, she sounded like she was walking around with a deathly virus that she was trying to give us here in the studio. And if she did, I was going to snap her neck!
Hi, yes. Everyone. There's a lot of people, like a lot of death threats after I got sick. Guess what happens when you work in radio? Because everyone is threatened for their lives.
It's because their livelihood. In a small booth.
Their livelihood depends on it, and I'm there about to take away all they can have for making money. Mm-hmm. Anyway, remember when you talked about Bridgerton a while back and the Korean actress and the new season?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, so I actually
have... And the new episodes come out in about 6 days.
Yeah. That's wow, you really know this well.
Because we're doing a watch party at my house with my cousin. She's back in Korea right now.
I want to be invited to that. Okay, anyway, so I actually went and watched it. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of going in with like a little bit of an attitude. I was like, how good can it be? I mean, it's the fourth season.
You got sucked in.
Fourth season. Usually it gets kind of bad after, I don't know. But I was like, okay. Oh, okay.
Remember that scene?
Oh, she's kind of cute.
Remember that scene? We're not going to spoil it, but that scene where he's talking to that other girl and she's like serving them. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Did you boil up too?
Wow. Sure. Yes. Yeah. For those who are watching, again,
that's all I'm going to say because I want to spoil
those who are,
it.
I don't know the age range of the people who listen to our radio, but there's a lot of programs that we do talk about that I wouldn't necessarily recommend if you're under a certain age.
Yeah. That's why I'm only saying a scene where it's not.
Wait, you're going to watch this with your cousin? Actually, I don't know if I want...
My cousin's 30-something.
I don't know if I want to watch this with anyone, now that I think about it.
I watch it with adult friends, not kids. I'm not going to watch it with
my nephews. I don't want to watch it with my adult friends, now that I think about it.
When we watch it, we're kind of like, you know, they're like, ooh, ah, no they didn't. Oh my gosh. Like, you know, our reactions are like that. But that scene, we're both kind of like, oh, poor... I forgot Sophie. Her name's Sophie.
Yeah,
right in the
Sophie
show.
Yeah. Peck. Koreans represent. So, you know what? Because of that, I kind of went down this rabbit hole and like...
Rewatched everything?
No. Actually, not that rabbit hole. Oh. A different rabbit hole of, Korean actors and actresses just really going global and working in Hollywood and things like that. So I looked into like the history of it. Who was the first person? And you know what?
Who went global?
It goes back... Well, like, who worked in Hollywood and stuff. Because, you know, like, when we were growing up, everyone was like, oh, yeah, you know, if you become a big star in Korea, Hollywood 진출, you know, that's, like, a big thing.
That was the goal for everyone.
Yeah, but then I realized there was, like, history goes back a long time. First guy, Korean-American.
Oh, it was a guy.
Yeah.
A male
Philip
actor.
An. He was born in 1905.
What?
1905 in Los Angeles and to Korean immigrant parents.
Kyopo,
right? So Hollywood debut was in the 30s. Right? I'm like, do they even have color yet?
No.
Yeah, so he appeared in numerous American films and TV shows. He was pretty established in Hollywood, and notable films include things like The Good Earth. I've never watched it. 1937.
These have to be black and white films.
Yeah. Love is a Many Splendored Thing, 1955. And he's one of the first Asian American, not just Korean, actors to have sustained sustained a Hollywood career.
So he started, he blueprinted and put his foot down for all Asian Americans.
Yeah, but guess what? Here's a crazy twist. He's actually the son of the Korean independence activist An Chang-ho.
Oh, wow.
Right? So it makes him like a really significant historical figure, both culturally and politically.
Okay, that part is awesome, but I thought you were going to say, and check this out, he's still alive. I was going to be like, what? He was born in 1905.
No, but historically very significant too. But this guy was born in the States. And then what about Koreans who weren't born in Korea and then made their
way? That's what I was hoping for.
So still super, it goes back a long time. His name is Oh Sun-taek, born in 1932, similar times, but just one generation later in Mokpo, Korea, and then moved to the U.S. in the 60s. And he appeared in Hollywood films and American TV beginning late 60s. Still pretty early, right? In the 60s. So he became, I thought this was so funny, became globally known for voicing Fazu. Remember the movie Mulan? The animated movie?
No way. He was in Mulan?
Yeah.
Korean guy?
Yeah, he was a Korean guy. But you know, back in the day when every Asian role was up for grabs for every kind of ethnicity. Yeah, so he was Fazu, Mulan's dad. And there's a lot of history there, right?
Nobody knows this.
See, this is why I was like, wow, okay.
Because nobody Googles or searches like, who is the voice of Mulan's dad?
No, I looked up history of Korean Americans and Korean actors in Hollywood. Yeah, so when
we need to hear his voice. I'm going to do something again? I'm going to do the Korean Yenung thing. So right now we'll listen to Mulan's dad's voice right now.
I am ready to serve the emperor.
Father, you can't go.
Mulan.
Oh, wow.
Thank you. Wow, that was amazing.
That soundbite.
Yeah.
That's his voice.
But you know what? So when I said rabbit hole, I didn't go into the history of Bridgerton rabbit hole. I went down the Koreans who are really making it in the global scene. We will definitely talk about Hyerin, also the actress from Bridgerton too. But before that...
Wait, what's her name?
Hyerin.
Oh, but you said it so the Korean way. Hyerin. Because whenever she's on the talk shows with her Australian accent, she's like, hi, I'm Hyerin.
She's Australian, that's right.
Yeah. That's so cool. I love watching Asians because we don't have accents when we speak English. Well, to us.
We have a very American accent.
Well, for Australians and British Koreans, to them we have accents.
That's true.
But for us, it's like when we hear other Koreans that live abroad from those countries, I'm like, you have the face like me, but you're like, I'm from the UK. I'm like, why do you sound like that? That's awesome.
Well, you know what? I feel like the American accent doesn't really fully represent who I am as a person. I mean, maybe it does in personality, but yeah. I want a cool accent, like an Indian accent or like an Irish accent.
I mean, that's one thing I haven't seen yet. I haven't met a Korean from either Scotland, Ireland. But you know who? I should get my cousin on the show. So I have a cousin who lives in Texas. He's a police officer. And the last time I spoke to him was literally 17 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I think it was at a family gathering. And I thought he was joking. And I was like, Hong, it's been a long time. He's like, how you doing in South Korea, man? I was like, what? Is that how you actually speak? He's like, what are you talking about? I'm from Texas. You know, I'm a police officer. I'm like,
but
so the
you
face and the voice doesn't match.
But you don't sound like you're from Jersey either. They have that thick Jersey accent.
But that's the thing I noticed. It's also your ethnicity as well. Caucasian, white folk, Italians from Jersey, they sound very Jersey, the stereotypical Jersey. But there are certain words I say that sound Jersey. Like the other day I met somebody, a friend. Yeah, they're like, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from Jersey. And they're like, oh, okay. And they're like, Ayo, can you give me a water? And they're like, there's a Jersey. I'm like, what did I say? He's like, you said water. I'm like, how else do you say water? I'm like, water? I'm like,
water.
To me, the word water sounds icky.
Water.
It's water.
Water.
And Jersey people, we joke around and say, yeah, it's spelled W-O-O-D-E-R, water.
Hey, at least they know how to spell it. Anyway, we're going to talk about all these fun Koreans and their achievements in the global scene. But yeah, let's listen to some songs.
Yes.
You know what? Because there's so much like national representation and Koreans say like, oh, 국뽕, like you feel proud to be Korean. And this is kind of the song you think of during like Olympic season because it was like the soundtrack for the movie 국가대표, so representative of the Korean national athletes. So yeah, this song is from that.
Okay, let's check it out, guys. This is Loveholics with Butterfly. All right, that was Loveholics with Butterfly. Now we're going to get more into these actors of Korean descent. Now, we did start with Ha Ye-rin, so we got to get into her background first.
Yerin Ha
from Australia.
Australia.
From the land down under.
Down under. And she is, yes, Korean Australian. Mm-hmm. And she is actually the granddaughter of actress Son Suk that everybody in Korea knows.
I know her. Son Suk.
She's kind of in the elder generation of actresses, but she's super renowned in Korea. And so Ha Ye-rin, grew up watching her plays and all of her works. And she previously appeared in Paramount Plus's original series, Halo. And she was born in...
Oh, I gotta watch that.
Yeah,
she's in it. OTT,
she has a very interesting haircut that I would never want, but she pulls it off. It's intense.
When you're a good actress.
That's when you know you have a pretty face, when you can just do whatever hair you
have. You have a pretty face.
Oh, thank you. Next week, I'm going to shave half of my head like this, like Sandra Bullock did back in like 2010.
Don't do that, though.
I'm not that pretty. I'm pretty, but like not like shaving
don't
half my
bald.
No, half of my head will be bald.
Yes.
So I guess I'm like...
Do pretty. You. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to anybody else. Just do you.
I'm pretty enough to shave half of my head, but not the rest. Anyway, going back, she actually studied in Korea for a while at the Kewon High School of Arts for 3 years. So she does speak some Korean. And yes, Bridgerton that we talked about, which is out right now. But if you want to watch the whole thing and all just binge watch it, just wait. Just hold it off until the 26th.
If you're one of those people who are like, oh, I can't wait. Then wait till the 26th, yeah.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't know it wasn't all out. And then I got through it. I'm like, oh my God,
I told you only
clearly,
4 episodes are out.
Don't listen to him. All I heard was Bridgerton.
Please listen to me next time.
But you know what's so funny? She comes out as a Korean. Because Bridgerton, it lets people be their own nationality and ethnicity.
Ethnicity.
Yeah. And so she comes out as this Korean who's really hardworking as a Cinderella story. So she's a maid, right? But you see like kind of Korean elements about her that netizens have pointed out. Like, do you know the Yaksuteok clap, the Ajashi clap that you kind of go back and forth when you got nothing to do the walking.
I didn't realize she did that.
She does that. You should look it up on like social media. It's everywhere. It's so funny.
I'm new to the Bridgerton, you know, I guess, what do you call it?
World view.
That I didn't know that the music was like actual pop music, but they make it sound classical.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Actually, what's funny is, you know, Hwasa's Good Goodbye? She actually worked with that guy and did a version of Good Goodbye in the orchestral version. And it's beautiful. It's released. Oh, no, it's not in Bridgerton.
Oh.
He's the guy who produced the Bridgerton music, but it's actually really beautiful.
Oh. That kind of
arrangement?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Oh. Yeah, it's really good. Cool. Anyway, so that is Ha Ye-rin, and honestly, looking forward to more coming from her. But she's like, you know, the new generation of Korean actresses who's working in the global scene. So let's go back to some of the classics that we already know, like Sandra Oh, right?
Yes.
Sandra Oh, born 1971. And of course, we know her from things like Grey's Anatomy, 6 Feet Under, The City of Blind, Over the Moon.
Canadian actress.
Oh, is she Canadian?
Yes.
Oh, why did I think she was
Canada.
American? Okay,
Sandra
I'm so sorry.
Is from Canada.
So Sandra Oh is from Canada. Mm-hmm. Brian vouches for that. She's respected for pioneering as one of the first East Asians, especially
while
as a woman.
I'm going to actually look it up. Because
yeah,
I
you know what? We should fact
for.
Check.
She's
actually one of the first female, I guess, even Asian women in Western TV and film. And she's done great work.
Born in Ottawa, Canada.
All right. Okay, Brian. Yeah. So she is from Canada. And then there's other people like Daniel Henny, who started off in Korea, kind of got big in Korea, and then moved, did the whole Korean dream into Hollywood. He was in movies like X-Men Origins, Wolverine, TV when he did in Korea. Of course, the big hit My Name is Kim Sam-soon and Criminal Minds. So yeah, he started from Korea and moved abroad. And Steven Yeun, on the other hand, he started in America and then started working with Korean directors too. And yeah, he's a great actor. He's in movies like Minari and Okja, Burning, and he plays a lot of roles that are Korean American as well. So representing not just Asian or just Korean, but kind of that people who have the identity crisis of being in between like Korean and Korean American. Did you know that he was in Walking Dead? Yes, we all know that. But did you know he was in Big Bang Theory 3? He comes out for like a split second as a really small part. He's actually Sheldon's original roommate. As he's moving out, he runs in and he runs into the new roommate and says, "Run, run."
I did not know that.
So this was on his like portfolio, and I was like, he was not on Big Bang Theory, but he, yeah. So basically, that's that. And he has great range of, you know, working with different genres of acting, and his language skills, his Korean's actually pretty good. So working in like movies like Burning, he speaks Korean and he goes back and forth between all the cultures. So I kind of love that about him. And then there's somebody that you would never think was American, but then once you kind of see it, it's like, oh, I see. You're kind of like a 1.5 generation Korean-American. Ma Dong-seok.
I knew he was American.
I didn't, but when you don't know...
Oh, you didn't know that?
No, well, I found out later, but I mean, before this time. But when I first saw him and like saw him in movies, I was like, oh, he's Korean. There's no way, because he comes out as such a Korean-looking guy, right?
True.
And then you find out he's Don Lee. And then I'm like, Don Lee? But yeah, he actually moved abroad like kind of like after a little while. So born in Korea, moved at 18. So pretty Korean. And then I would say he was like 1.5 generation, right? In that case. But yeah, notable works like Nameless Gangster, Train to Busan, and then Eternals. Of course, this was a groundbreaking thing because he was
That's
the first...
That's a Marvel one, right?
Yes, he was the first Korean male actor to join the Marvel universe, and he was in Eternals as Gilgamesh. Yeah, Gilgamesh. That also like blew me away too, because I'm like, I read this in high school, and like, you're Gilgamesh? That's not what I would have imagined for Gilgamesh to look like. Anyway.
Yeah.
So there's that. And last for today, but there's so many more. Ken Jeong, of course. And I want to take a dig at Brian. He played the role of Bobby on K-pop Demon Hunters. And Brian was like, yeah, I auditioned for that. And anyway, so Ken Jeong beat Brian out. And of course, he had other notable works before K-pop Demon Hunters, like Hangover 1, 2, 3. And
I found out an updated thing about that, but I can't say it on air.
Oh, okay. Yes. So as soon as the camera stops.
Yes.
All right. And he's also on Crazy Rich Asians. Yes. And he has his own Dr. Ken. And he actually is...
I have respect for him. So.
You know what? Yeah.
He's so educated, but he's also a funny dude.
He's licensed a physician in California. And you know, he made headlines because in 2018, there was somebody who collapsed in the audience because he does stand-up too. And he gave emergency care. I'm like, wow, he's funny and he's educated and he's great at acting. So what's not to love?
Yeah. And then just a few other names we want to throw out without like even going with their background. We have John Cho.
Oh.
We have Daniel Dae Kim, of course, from Lost. And of course, a Nuna of mine that I always supported from day one, Kim Yoon Jin, also from Lost.
Mm.
And she's done a lot of American TV shows as well.
Right.
You know, so I mean, the whole list goes on and on, and there's so much more that, you know, we can't put on because then the show would never end today.
And I feel like there's a whole range of Korean American and like Korean Australian Korean blah blah actors who many Koreans actually don't know about until they get really famous, but there's so many out there. And
some people are like, oh, they were Korean. They get the wrong idea. They're like, I thought they were Chinese or Japanese, and then you figure out, oh, they were Korean. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. There you go. And now we're going to play, of course, some K-pop related to what we're talking about. So
right.
The next two songs, what are they related to?
So yeah. Continuing on with kind of the national pride, identity mm-hmm. as Korean thing, the heritage. Yeah, these are some songs that really put Korea on the map for some K-pop fans out there. So here they are.
Check it out. BTS with Idol and Psy with Gangnam Style. And that was Psy with Gangnam Style. We're here with Nael talking about all these Korean actors and actresses that are making it in America. In Hollywood. Mm. And we're talking about these Korean actors that are from all parts of the world. Australia, America, Canada, maybe from the UK. We don't know. They're just coming out of everywhere, you know? And we're so happy and proud of them. And so, what's next on today's question?
All right. Yeah. So, you know these songs like Gangnam Style that we just listened to that really... No, like people didn't know where Korea was when I was growing up. People were like, oh, is that in China? I'm like, no. But things like Gangnam Style, they're like, oh, okay. So after Gangnam Style, people stopped asking, are you Chinese or Japanese? They said, oh, Gangnam Style. I'm like, really, guys? But because these songs got so famous, Korea, people started recognizing Korea too. And you know, songs like the pineapple song, the pin pineapple, apple pen.
Oh my God,
remember
so
that song?
Annoying.
But it's this Asian guy who's there and everybody knows it.
Artist.
It's a Japanese guy, but you know, for a lot of my friends, they didn't know the difference. And but then you kind of wonder, you go back and forth between the representation, like, you know, sometimes people act like they're stereotype or they act funny, like the silly Asian person in these Hollywood films. And some actors actually refuse to play roles like that because they're like, I feel like it's offensive. But other actors say, you know what? But these stereotypes come from like a lineage and a history of what we had to live through. So I'm going to play along with it. So I just wondered, like, what you thought about that dynamic and like... Would you ever want to play roles like that or, you know, work in a bigger global scene if it had to do with playing at like a stereotypical Asian role?
I wouldn't mind it because, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to be typecasted as well. But being typecasted or a stereotypical role, I feel like, you know, you're still putting your foot in the door.
You're that's
getting
true.
A start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you start doing that, you can also audition for other parts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That attitude and that mentality of, oh, I don't want to get typecasted. I don't want to get, you know, play the stereotypical role. But then you're just going to sit in your butt all day at home and not, you know, audition for it just because of that one reason.
Yeah.
Then what if you never get casted for anything?
Yeah.
You know? So I feel like, you know, okay, Brian Ju, we want you to play the Asian guy working at a dry cleaners in K-Town. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that because that's such a racist,
dare you?
You know, Korean thing. But typically you think to yourself, that's a true life situation.
Half of my Korean-American friends' parents have laundromats.
Yeah, like Kim's Convenience on the Canadian show Kim's Convenience. You had a lot of Korean parents working at convenience stores in Canada. But in America growing up, all my relatives did dry cleaners.
Yeah.
So that's not a bad idea. It's like you're still... showing a true reality in America.
All right.
So that's not a bad thing to do, I feel like.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think just getting your foot in the door before people start to recognize us, because we started with K-pop and K-dramas, but now people are taking interest in K-beauty and beyond. And like people come to Korea not just for K-pop anymore. So I'm like, great. If K-pop did that for us, amazing. So much better than like 15 years ago when people asked me if I was Chinese or Thai. I've been asked that too. But...
And half the actors we talked about today too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they played stereotypical roles when they first started.
Yeah.
Like I said, Daniel Dae Kim on Lost, he played a character who was supposed to not be able to speak English at all in the show.
Yeah.
But then later on, he's got casted for Hawaii Five-0 and other movies and TV shows where he only speaks English.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to play American roles. So you just never know.
I played Chinese Ninja, listen, Chinese Ninja Assassin number 2 in Pink Panther in my high school production. So I don't know what Chinese Ninja means, but that's what I played. Okay, guys?
I got the role of the guy who comes on stage in my high school production of Guys and Dolls.
Oh.
Because I was the only Asian in the play or the musical, just saying, the cops are here.
Aww.
That's all I could have done.
At least they didn't make you do an accent.
I auditioned for the main role, but I can't because... of me being Asian.
Yep. Yeah. We gotta make our own stories.
Yep. You just never know. But just don't give up, y'all.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Because you never know where you're going to be in the world. Either way,
yep.
You guys have all the names out there for the actors and actresses that are Korean or Korean-American or, you know, from other countries. So if you want to do your studies and you feel like, oh, you left out this actor or actress, let us know them
as
well.
Yeah, come at because, me.
Yeah. Not come at us, but educate us. Educate us.
Yes.
And of course, you know, all the voices as well of, like, you know, the recent K-pop Demon Hunters, who I'm, if you guys are wondering why my voice is a little scratchy today, I was actually having drinks last night with Kevin, who's on a plane right now going, well, actually, no, he should be in Japan right now, but yeah, so I was with him last night and he made me drink too much. Yes. Thank you, Kevin. My little soju pop. Yes. That's what happened to my voice last night. Anyways, we are going to wrap things up with a song. And what song are we going to finish up with?
Another Korean-American actress that we didn't fully cover her profile, but who's actually a singer too. You guys might be familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Voice of Rumi on K-pop Demon Hunters.
Okay, let's check it out. It is Arden Cho with Dive In. And then we're going to wrap up this week's Lights, Camera, Action. And yeah, we'll see you next week. Well, that is all the time that we have for you guys today. We have a great song to take us out. It is IVE with Bang Bang. And our producer is Chaedong Kwon. Our writer is Karen Choi. I'm Brian Ju, and this has been K-Pop Connection. You may disconnect now.